Rick Warren is the center of a spiderweb network that crosses every denomination in the world. And he has as much power, if not more, in the LCMS than Matthew Harrison.
Chris Rosebro, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Think of Rick Warren as a guy who has a pan district within the LCMS. There are pastors within the LCMS who would sooner call up Rick Warren or some of the guys in his coaching network asking for help than they would call their own district president or, God forbid, Matt Harrison. In other words, Rick Warren is probably one of the most powerful men in our Synod.
You can listen to Chris's entire presentation and all of the presentations from the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference on our new audio DVD for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. We'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
You'll find your greatest concentration of atheists not in the Soviet Politburo, but in the editorial offices of the New York Times.
The way you fight this is by never making the compromise to begin with. If you don't compromise and understand that their technique is to short-circuit your thinking and get you to be able to make these little baby steps, they're going to be the ones in control.
I'm a pastor. I deal with issues pastorally. I deal with issues constantly. I deal with issues carefully but persistently. And I'm not a bull in a china shop, but I'm going to be faithful. You can count on that.
Confessional Lutheran Deadheads love Issues Etc.
It's one of the shorter accounts in all of the Gospels. It's just a little vignette there of Jesus. He's passing through town. Now, we're going to presume that this town is Bethany, because Bethany is where Mary and Martha and Lazarus live. This is very near Jerusalem. And he comes to stay with Mary and Martha does exactly what she is supposed to do, exactly what she is supposed to do. When any visitor comes, she extends the family's hospitality. And that requires, of course, a lot of work, a lot of busy work that needed to be done. And she is concerned about many things. Mary, on the other hand, appears to be a little lazy. She's just sitting there with Jesus at his feet, listening to what he's saying. And it sets up a short story that isn't so much about Mary or Martha, but really about the one thing needful. And there he is, sitting right in front of Mary and Martha, both of them. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Jesus with Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10. Pastor Tom Baker joins us for the first hour of the program. Better part of that hour, we'll be doing a Sunday school lesson, and we'll be right there in Luke chapter 10. In hour two of Issues Etc., Terry Mattingly of Scripps Hour News Service joins us. The Pope is in Brazil. It's World Youth Day. It is one of the biggest gatherings of Roman Catholics every year. Young people come to see the Pope. This Pope is new, but he's no exception. How is the media covering not only this visit to Brazil, but how do they generally cover these papal trips, these papal visits worldwide? Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us in the last half hour of the program or so, and we're going to get an update from the 65th Regular Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Found out what happened today, even as the events continue to unfold there in St. Louis. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Tom Baker is Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
What is the basic difference between Mary and Martha in this story? Or I guess maybe I should ask, is that the right question to be asking in this short account?
I really do think it's the right question, and it's one of my favorite passages because it is so misunderstood. I often start off teaching this, say at a seminar, by asking a series of questions, and I'll give them to you, Todd. For example, when you come home from work, would God prefer you to read the daily newspaper, or would he prefer that you would read the Bible? Or I'll say something along the lines, on Thanksgiving Day, would God prefer that you be in church, or making the Thanksgiving meal because a lot of people are coming over. And last week I actually talked about this at a congregation of farmers, and I asked this question. On a Sunday morning, when the weather is real nice out, would God prefer you be in church or out sowing your seed? Now, the reason I ask questions that way is because the vast majority, even of Lutherans, I believe, give the wrong answer. And the wrong answer is taking either choice. And that's really what this is all about. This is not about principles of life. This is something far greater that I think most people really miss. Because if you ask, well, what was wrong with Martha from God's point of view? They're going to say, well, she was distracted and didn't listen to the Bible study. And when I hear somebody like that, I say, okay, you come home from work, you're supposed to make a meal. You know, issues, etc. is on from 3 to 5 while you're supposed to be making a meal. Would God prefer that you make a meal or listen to issues, etc.? And a lot of times there's a perplexed look. And it's a perplexed look because the old Adam is judging the person for what they think they're doing something wrong. Especially when you ask, should you read the newspaper or the Bible? And that kind of question, I think, really gets to the key what's going on here in this particular incident.
So Jesus is there in the house, and Martha has busied herself with the preparations, probably to feed everyone. And we would assume here that Jesus is not completely alone. She's been saddled with a pretty big responsibility. Doesn't the culture require her to extend the best hospitality she can to someone who comes in from out of town?
You see, I don't think Martha is doing anything wrong. I don't think Mary is doing anything wrong. Christianity is not a legalistic religion where you take a look at what they're supposed to be doing or what they're not supposed to be doing. In fact, I kind of switch around the story a little bit. I say, okay, Jesus comes to their home, and Martha is cooking, but while she is cooking, she's listening to the word of Jesus and asking him questions. Mary sits at his feet playing with her iPhone, going through all kinds of games on it. Jesus says, Mary, Mary, Mary. Boy, Martha has chosen the right thing. Not you. You see, it's not a matter of deed. There's something much deeper, in my opinion, going on here.
So whether one is serving the way Martha is, or in the sense kind of serving the way Mary is, there's something else going on.
Yes.
Okay, so what is that one thing that is needful, that in the case of Mary and Martha, Jesus says, Mary has chosen it, it will not be taken away from her.
It's a law and gospel distinction. I do not believe that Jesus ever criticizes someone just for sin. I can't find any place in the Bible where he does that. Or that he commends somebody just for a good work. He always criticizes someone because of the unbelief behind the sin. And he always commends someone for the faith behind the good work. Now, if you start off with that assumption, as a long gospel distinction, then what we are looking for is, where in this text is it obvious that Martha has unbelief? Well, I'll tell you, I'd like to read this text again, only this time I'm going to read it with a certain emphasis, and you're going to see it right away. As they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Now, you go tell her to help me. Can you imagine Isaiah in Isaiah 6 talking to God like that? In fact, can you imagine Moses ever talking to God like that? This is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And Martha is blasting him. She isn't recognizing who he is. With the very statement, Lord, do you not care? This is the most careful God. He's the only careful God in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. She is totally filled with self-interest. And she is bossing around God. When Jesus says, therefore, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. What's that one thing that's necessary? It's trust. It's faith. And Mary has chosen that good portion. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus with great trust in his word, anxious to drink in what he has to say. Martha, it's not a problem of her serving. It's a problem of her unbelief in whom is sitting in the room there.
So in a nutshell, she doesn't realize or believe who it is that has come to her house.
And that's the basis of every sin we do. Every time I sin, Todd, I am always breaking the first commandment, regardless of what commandment I'm breaking, which is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Because what a sin is, what's at the center of sin? Spell it. I. What's at the center of pride? Spell it. I. I think my views and my goals, my purposes and my works are more important than what the will of God is. I become God. And I'm hard-pressed to remember a time where I ever spoke to God like Martha did, but I sure acted that way every time I sin, and that's why I confess I'm a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. This is not a principle of life thing at all. So that, getting back to the newspaper or the Bible, if I ever said to somebody in my congregation, when you come home and you have a choice, I'll tell you what God's will is, and we'll deal with that when we get back from the break.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're talking about Mary, Jesus, and Martha. It's Wednesday afternoon, July the 24th.
One of the things I love most about being a Lutheran is it doesn't require me to deny or explain away a single syllable of the Bible. I love that.
Pastor Todd Wilkin speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
I don't have to be afraid that I'm going to find something in the Bible that is, that's not Lutheran. I don't have to worry about that. The closer you go into the Bible, the bigger magnifying glass you put on the text of Scripture, you find that it's Lutheran all the way down. You can put it under a microscope, and it is.
You can listen to Todd's entire presentation and all of the presentations from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference on our new audio DVD. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
So that verse 13, you attain together the unity of the faith, which is the knowledge, not of you, but of the Son of God himself. The knowledge of his perfected humanity. The knowledge of the measure of his total imputed, and that means gift, righteousness. You are totally and freely justified, forgiven, perfected by God's work in Jesus on the cross.
Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, making disciples in the Word and Sacraments of Jesus Christ. BethanyLCS.org.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, July the 24th. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're talking about Jesus in the home of Mary and Martha. You were saying before the break, Tom, that this isn't a principle for living thing. This is about kind of at the heart of what unbelief is, what sin is, and how the two go together. Pick up where you left off.
Yes, the point I was about to make is, okay, let's get back. Does God want you to read the Bible, or does he want you to read a newspaper when you get home? Well, if a pastor says God wants you to read the Bible, then I would ask him the question I tell my listeners on the radio program, what they need to do. If they ever hear something that they disagree with me, they're to ask me, where is that in the Bible? And if I cannot find the Bible verse, they are to turn the station, because they are talking to a false prophet. So if I say to my members, when you come home, God expects you to read the Bible first before you read the newspaper, that would be sin, because I can't find a Bible verse, thus saith the Lord. I don't want to give the impression you don't have to read the Bible or you should never, but God helps set up priorities, and a lot of times you want to, I love reading the newspaper in order to find out what kind of sermon material I might be having. Or if a farmer has to sow seed when the weather is good after a bad rain and a wet land, then God has set his priorities. If this is really a question of priorities that God sets up. When I got in the ministry, Todd, I asked a lot of pastors, what happened in your life that you would have changed as a pastor through the years? And one answer that always came through is I would have spent more time with my family. When I heard that, Friday nights became the night I would go out with Louise and the kids. We'd go shopping, and I would always set that aside. But occasionally, just before we were ready to go out to McDonald's and to all the places where we like shopping, I'd get a phone call that a member was in an accident and at the hospital. Well, guess where Pastor Baker went? He didn't go out with his family. God had changed my priority. So it would seem to me that when the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, walks into your home and is about to do a Bible study, I do not have a problem with Martha serving. But it was her unbelief that caused, she was distracted with serving, worried she wasn't getting it ready, and there was Mary just listening to Jesus. If Martha, as I said before, had listened intently while she was serving, you know, a lot of people can chew gum and walk at the same time, and Mary had been distracted by fooling around with something while she was sitting at the feet of Jesus, maybe reading the latest papyri from Jerusalem or whatever, then she would have been the object of Jesus' criticism. Remember, the worst thing that Jesus could ever say to a disciple was, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And he said that to Peter when Peter was talking about protecting his Lord when he got to Jerusalem. "Don't worry about it, Lord. We'll protect you. They won't put you to death." And then to hear, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You see, it wasn't that what Peter said was necessarily sin, but it became sin because he had lost the faith behind it.
So if Mary is sitting there, because I think sometimes people interpret this as you said, the either or. Either you're doing this or you're doing that.
Yes.
She is fulfilling a vocation that she's been called to by the arrival of Jesus. And Martha is fulfilling a vocation she's been called to by the arrival of Jesus. Had she realized who Jesus was, gone about her business, made the meal, come out and said, "All right, come and get it," never raised the issue of, you know, the real important thing here is we get this meal done. Simply fulfilled her vocation. Maybe even not have been out of earshot of the Bible study to not hear it. She still would have been doing what Christ had called her to do.
Absolutely. In fact, right now, I'll bet you there's a number of people preparing supper at this time, listening to Issues, etc. They've got the radio on, We don't expect them to go sit at your feet, Todd, on a couch and just intently listen, but they can be doing something else at the same time. But if they get angry, you see, Martha, this is a key point, was not angry at Mary. She was angry at God and didn't realize how angry she was. Don't you care? You tell her. I mean, stop and think about this. And I'll tell you how different Martha was after that Bible study, because we find it in John chapter 11, when Jesus waits 3 days to go see Nazareth. So when Martha heard Jesus was coming, she went and met him, and Mary remained seated in the house. Like, it's almost a switch. Martha said to Jesus, now, you tell me, Todd, if this isn't faith. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said your brother will rise again. Martha says to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Talk about a theologian of glory here in contrast to the theologian of the cross in contrast to the theologian of self-glory she was before. Now listen to Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life, Martha. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, well, I'm not so sure about that. No, she doesn't say that at all. She says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. What a huge difference between Martha's attitude in the earlier incident when she was yelling at God, criticizing God, and a theologian of self-glory. That Bible study, if that was it, and other teachings, she even came to know about the resurrection of the dead, and she believed. As soon as Jesus would say something, she said, I believed it. In fact, it reminds me what you yourself, Todd, said at the Issues Etc. in Collinsville, that you never worry when you open the Bible that you're ever going to find something in there that's not Lutheran. Because whatever God says is going to be Lutheran. It's going to be accurate. And because of that faith that you have in Jesus, you know his word is never going to let you down. Martha had moved from that. And here we got Mary not running out to see Jesus, but Martha. And I think God had something to say about that, to show us.
So we're talking about something here. I don't know if either of us have used the term yet, but we're talking about something here that our listeners have found very comforting, and that is the biblical teaching on vocation, that it's not, your life is not an either-or, either God or your neighbor, that it's always a both-and. Talk about that.
Vocation comes from the Latin, actually, vocara, to call. And it's not just pastors who have a calling. I am very thankful for the garbage men that come to our place, because apart from them, we'd have a very smelly house. And often I'll give them a tip at Christmas, thanking them for the work. And I don't even care. Well, it's not that I don't care, but I don't know if they're Christian or whatever. But they're doing, God is using their hands, their feet, and their trucks to clean out the neighborhood so that we're able to talk with our neighbors without holding our nose and these kinds of things. In other words, everyone's vocation is the way that God uses your arms, your legs, your voice, etc. And particularly for Christians, our vocation has, of course, the gift of the Holy Spirit there so that we can befriend people that we normally don't befriend, and we can be a neighbor to those where we're not going to get anything out of it. So what is happening here is God comes into the house. And it's not that she was serving, but she got so distracted with her self-identity, and she wasn't being helped by Mary, that she criticizes God. In fact, every time we sin, we're criticizing God. That's what Adam and Eve did. Adam did not blame Eve for his sin. The original Hebrew goes like this: the woman you gave to me. You know, before she was here, things were going fine, you know. I have plenty of animals, this kind of thing. But once you gave me that woman, and Eve did the same to God, the serpent you put or allowed into the garden. And that's what repentance is. Repentance is turning everything around and taking the blame fully on ourselves and not speaking against Almighty God.
Is it safe to say here that her failure to believe in the one who is sitting in her living room leads her to value the work that she is doing for him to the exclusion of trusting in the work that he does for her?
I could not disagree with that. That's a wonderful summary of what's happening here. And that's the way, from the Heidelberg Disputation of Martin Luther in 1518, that the theologian of what I call self-glory, giving glory to oneself, she wants to impress Jesus. But Mary's got to help a little bit, maybe by setting the table or by maybe stirring something. She's only got so many hands. But what's missing is she's not listening. And by the way, when it says that Mary was listening to Jesus, this is more than just vocables being heard by the eardrums. She is, as one of our prayers say, she was digesting the Word of God. And so Jesus gave Martha law, and that brought her around.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're looking at Jesus with Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 24th. Another 10 minutes with Tom, and then we'll talk with Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service about media coverage of papal visits. Did Martin Luther's political writings lead to the freedom of conscience, the separation of church and state, and German totalitarianism? Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Divine Kingdom, Holy Order by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
By grace I'm saved.
Grace, God's favor because of what Christ has done for you. This is precisely the gift that you will receive at Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois. God's grace delivered by the means appointed by our Lord Himself, His word proclaimed and His sacraments rightly administered. Come and receive. Grace, it's not just what we believe, it's who we are. Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Strasburg, Illinois.
Lutheran. It's not a label, it's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A male dog in Bangkok named Pui picked up a white plastic bag in his mouth at the local dump and took it home to his master. Pui then loudly barked to get someone's attention. The master's niece went downstairs and was shocked to find the bag on the patio contained a newborn infant. She and her mother took the baby to the hospital where she thrived. Pui received a leather collar and medal as a reward from the local Red Cross. Now, my question is, if an animal can recognize the bag contained human life that should be protected, why can't humans do the same? Why can't we protect babies from abortion? Young children, as soon as they're old enough to talk, point to a picture of an unborn child and say, "Baby." It's time the grown-ups caught on.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're talking about Mary with Martha and Jesus. They are, well, there's a little conflict here, but it's not the one that we often think of in connection with this very famous Bible story. Pastor Tom Baker is Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society, and he's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You can find out more about Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, let's talk a little bit more about those kind of false choices that are often presented by the principles for living reading of the Bible, not only this story, but elsewhere, the false choices between this and that. Give us some more examples.
Well, for example, I was at a congregation not long ago, and an elder had asked me to come in when their pastor was gone. He was really excited about the Bible study I was to give. And I saw him just before the Bible study, and he was sneezing and coughing. I said, "How are you feeling?" He said, "I don't feel very well, but I have to come to your Bible study." And I told him in that situation that I thought he should go home and rest. He didn't look good. Plus, he could be contagious with other people. And he thanked me for that, because the real reason he was going, he felt guilty. He'd call me to the congregation. So sometimes a pastor can give advice on the circumstances. But by and large, I think it's wrong for pastors to give advice when a member comes and says, "I'm not sure whether I should work for Ford Motors or Chrysler. Which do you think God wants me to do?" And I said, "Well, since the word Ford or Chrysler isn't in the Bible, you need to put down, which one will you be spending, maybe working at night, when you're going to be away the family more? Which one is going to help you with funds and this kind?" And then you make the decision. A pastor has no insight in these areas. But I remember somebody coming to me and said, "Well, Pastor, I'm going to go on the golf course because I can worship there as easily as I can in a worship service." Now, if he just says he's got a special golf date with someone, do I mind him not being there Sunday morning? I don't have a problem with that, because the Sabbath can be done at any time. But if he says something like, "I can worship on the golf course," then I will criticize him. I'll say something like, "Well, when was the last time a squirrel forgave your sins or an owl gave you the Lord's Supper?" You see, he's thinking of worship as something that he does, rather than worship truly being something that God does for us. So the very simple law gospel principle is, when somebody asks me for advice, if I have a Bible verse that is clear, that's the advice I'm going to give. And if I don't have a Bible verse, then we kind of leave it open and try and have them think through it as to what the consequences would be of either choice.
So when people, this is, as we kind of talked about before, this is a very guilt-relieving way to think about your life in everyday terms. Even though this isn't principles for living, this is really the kind of freeing teaching of Scripture that says, and I think you mentioned it before, sometimes God calls you by the occasion that you find yourself in. You were mentioning as a pastor getting the call to the hospital. Well,
yes.
That means that God is calling you now to be at that hospital bed. And then later there'll be time to spend with the family. Sometimes there's nobody in the hospital, and God may be saying, "Go home. Spend some time with your family."
It is so comforting and relieving to know you're not in charge of life, but God is. And he sets up the priorities. You know, the convention is going on, and there were like six things that I had planned for today. Well, we're only going to get four of them done, because three new things came up that have become more important. So now we're going in a different direction. And it doesn't bother me at all, because I'm not in charge of my life. But the thing I want to get across to the children is how many times we are Marthas without realizing it. I was a Martha just not long ago at the dollar store. I had left the radio station, and I had gone over to the dollar store, and I bought some things. I was kind of in a hurry, and I was looking at my phone, and the lady was asking, you know, how they always, "How's your day?" and all this, and I just didn't want to talk. "Oh, fine," you know, and just kind of ignored her, because I was trying to get through my phone, get out of the line. And she looked, and unfortunately, I had my badge on from the radio station. And she looked at the badge, saw my picture, saw my name, and she says, You know, I try and listen to you as often as I can on your station on Law and Gospel. And Todd, you can't believe how bad I felt. Because here I was just kind of ignoring her. I was totally Martha, self-interest Baker. And the Lord woke me up. And that's why we need to confess every Sunday. We're poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. And that God compliments us at all is only because of the faith that the Holy Spirit has given to us. So I remember Peter Kurowski helped me with that. Going to shut-ins every month or twice a month, you'd hear the same stories, and sometimes I'd get sleepy. But he taught me how to listen for something different and start a conversation with them. So by nature, all of us have Martha problems. And I gave up giving out the newsletter at my church before the service. Because guess what people were doing during the sermon? They were reading the newsletter. So we gave it after the service. We all have these problems. How many times do people take an occasion during communion where they're figuring out what they're going to do on Sunday or for the rest of the week? The devil loves to make us into Marthas. But Jesus not only died for Mary and Martha, but he also created a Martha in John 11 that is a theologian of self-glory to the nth degree, where whatever Jesus says, Lord, I believe.
When Jesus says to Martha about Mary, she has chosen the one thing needful, it will not be taken away from her?
Yes.
What is he saying there?
Faith. That's what she's chosen, to trust. Remember, faith isn't belief in some kind of historical event or something. It's trust in the promises. So now she is listening to Jesus teaching promises. And we know what those promises were about the resurrection on the last day. And when you're a Christian, you will never die, which means there'll be no spiritual death for you. And that will not be taken away from Mary, namely that faith that she was clinging to. And that's a wonderful promise that is a reminder to us always by looking at our baptism, where God connects his promise of salvation that will not be taken away from us by God himself.
We know the rest of the story. You mentioned the account of the raising of Lazarus, which involves these same two women. Is it possible, and of course the text doesn't tell us explicitly, but it's hard to imagine that Jesus wouldn't be teaching in Mary and Martha's house and not anticipate the fact that that he knows, although they do not know, that the next time he sees them, or perhaps on a future occasion he sees them, it's going to be at the death of their brother, and he's going to raise him from the dead.
We know that to be true, because when he's talking to the disciples, they want him to leave right away. And he says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. But Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. So he purposely stayed for 3 days because that made the death official. So nobody could argue that he wasn't really dead. In fact, remember when they started opening up he stinketh, you know. So when Jesus told Lazarus to come forth, that's the same words he said to Paul on the road to Damascus. The same words he said to Martha. The same words he says to you and to me every time you hear a proper worship service with the wonderful gift of the forgiveness of sins and the blessed gift of his true body and blood.
Well, how would you break this down in terms of law and gospel? Not only for the Sunday school kids, but for someone who says, you know, what is the basic law gospel message of the story of Jesus with Mary and Martha?
Martin Luther said for the Reformation that the basic problem wasn't sin, but good works. People would look to their good works as more important than anything else. And so they would give them to God on a plate. Look at all my good works. And God would throw up, so to speak, Luther said. The problem is giving God good works as a way of meriting our way into salvation. Martha thought she was doing a good work. She was serving a dinner, but she was getting behind. She was distracted. She wasn't listening to the word. And so, though ostensibly she gets mad at Mary, she's really angry with God himself. And that is a way that helps us to repent. We analyze our sin to find out where did my self-interest take over rather than the interest of Christ. And you remember Philippians 2, where it says that Jesus did things not for his interest, but for our interest. And that's how the gospel will change even Sunday school children to begin to be truly neighborly. Remember the story right before Mary and Martha? It's the Good Samaritan about being neighborly. And we immediately go into Martha, where she's not only not neighborly towards Mary, but she's not neighborly towards God.
Pastor Tom Baker is Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society. He hosts the radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, we're going to talk with Tom about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
We base our conversations with Pastor Baker every week on the Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ. This is one of those creations of Concordia Publishing House that really shows what a sound Sunday school curriculum, what the Sunday school classroom ought to be all about, keeping these lessons Christ-centered, cross-focused. Find out more about Growing in Christ. Give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we're going to talk about how the media covers papal visits. Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service will be our guest.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.